Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, this is the Coast to Coast Radio Show, and I'm your host, Ron. That should fire you up. That's the Florida State War Chant, unless you're a Miami fan, of course. The FSU Seminoles are going to take on Louisville. FSU is number two in the nation versus number 10 Louisville at Louisville. The fans in Kentucky are pumped up. It's usually a basketball town, Louisville Cardinals and Kentucky Wildcats, but over the last year, since Bobby Petrino came back and has brought some swagger back to the Louisville Cardinals, and they've been really, really good. And this is a really good matchup. Coach Umar, Jimbo Fisher can flat out coach. Sometimes Florida State starts off slow, but he is the best coach in the country at making halftime adjustments. He's going to have to, because Bobby Petrino is a very, very good coach. As far, especially offensively, and he's got a stud in Lamar Jackson, who reminds me of Michael Vick. He may be a little better passer than Michael Vick. He's as explosive, and he's the type of quarterback, if you got him backed up at your own 20-yard line, and he's running, and you miss a tackle or two, he could take it 80 yards and embarrass you. And that has to always be in Florida State's defense mind. Man, if we better get to him, because he could take it to the distance, or he could go deep and burn us on the run. He could scramble and go deep. So what Florida State has to do is, of course, they have to stop the run. But they're going to have to be very disciplined. Very disciplined. And this is it. From what I heard, this is the best talent-wise Florida State defense of the 90s, the Charlie Ward era, and Brooks, and all those guys. And we'll see. I saw against Ole Miss how good their defense could be in the second half, where they completely shut down Chad Kelly and Ole Miss's explosive defense. They were up 28-3 over Florida State. Florida State came back and won 45-34. Should tell you how good Florida State can be, and I believe they have the talent to win the national championship. I have a friend, he's a diehard Florida State fan. He also likes the Dallas Cowboys. I'll get to my prediction of the NFL in a minute after I go through all the big college games. And these are the kind of days that I love, because I sit back and I, from 12 noon till 12 at night, I'm watching college football. I don't want to be interrupted. I don't want to hear from nobody. I'm watching college football. I know that sounds like somebody doesn't have a life, but, you know. Anyway, I think Florida State, and I'm going to roll the dice on this because Louisville's offense is explosive. They're home. They want to be recognized. They don't feel like they get enough respect. But because of DeAndre Francois, he's a freshman, but his IQ's off the chart. Because I believe in him and Dalvin Cook, who averages over 174 yards a game against the Cardinals, I expect the Cardinals, whose defense is better, to slow him down a little and make Francois pass, but Francois can pass. He has an amazing arm for a freshman, and he doesn't aim. He's the type of guy that throws you open. I'm saying that because he's the type of guy, even if you're not as open, he'll throw the ball so accurately that it makes him a star already as a freshman. Now, of course, he's a freshman, so you're prone to make freshman mistakes. So it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that. But he got hit a lot against Ole Miss, and he was tough enough to take every hit and come back even stronger. He's going to have to do that again today against a quick Louisville defense. It's going to be a great coaching match between two really great coaches. Even though I think Bobby Petrino is a scoundrel as a person, he's a great coach. Because you see what he did when he was the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and he left the Atlanta Falcons high and dry, not even addressing his players, just leaving a note there saying, I'm gone. I'm going to Arkansas to coach in the middle of the season, and then he gets in trouble with his wife in Arkansas. I think he gets in some motorcycle accident. I have to study with his girlfriend, and Arkansas fires him, and he comes back to Louisville. But because he's such a good coach that he'll get a job, he got another job. He stayed clean so far, and Louisville's really good. I saw him against an average Syracuse team, and I was impressed, not because they beat an average team, but the way they went about it, and that's a tough matchup. And I'm taking a chance and rolling the dice a little bit because people pick Florida State, but this is a tough game. I'm going to go to FSU because they're a little better, and I think it's their time to get to the playoffs. The next game is Alabama and Ole Miss. And this is a very interesting game because Ole Miss beat Alabama twice. And nobody's beaten Nick Saban three times since he's at Michigan State from 97, 98, and 99. And there was Purdue. There was a guy on the Purdue team by the name of Drew Brees. So if you lose to Drew Brees three times, that ain't so bad. That's the last time Nick Saban lost to the same team. That was a long time ago. So there's no crime in losing to Drew Brees, but this is going to be interesting because Ole Miss matches up real good with Alabama. They have the ingredients that can beat Alabama. The last couple of years, you could pass the ball a little bit on you spread them out, you got big receivers, you can beat Bama. It doesn't happen a lot, and it's always been close games. I mean, Chad Kelly went off on Alabama the last time, and he had a couple fluky plays, and there were five turnovers by Alabama. I don't think that's going to happen again. Hurd is going to play better. He's a freshman the freshman quarterback of Alabama, and I think Damian Harris is going to play better too. I think there's a running back. I think they need that running game. My X factor in this game is O.J. Howard, the tight end. Never, ever gets credit and always gets overlooked as an Alabama player. He came back his senior year to be better. He could have went to the NFL. He didn't. I think O.J. Howard's going to be the key to this game today. I'm going to take a chance and say Alabama's going to break the streak and go into Oxford and win. Now, Ohio State goes to Oklahoma, and I'm going to roll the dice again and pick Oklahoma because, as you know, I do not like Oklahoma's coach. I don't like Bob Stoops. I think he's cocky for absolutely no reason. And you know his history of choking under pressure. But because they're home, they're a little desperate. Ohio State's still young. They're developing quickly. They have a great secondary. I think Baker Mayfield makes enough plays. If he can calm down, he's a good quarterback. Gets a little excited at times. I don't like all that trash talking to bigger defenders. I think he needs to shut up and play football because he's a good player. And then Nixon and P. Ryan, I think they could run it a little bit, and that should be enough. And they could catch the ball in the backfield. They're good pass receivers as running backs. And I think that's going to be enough. It's going to be a high-scoring game. I like Oklahoma. I don't like them that much. I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State comes in there and beats them because it's a coaching mismatch. Urban Meyer can coach circles around Bob Stoops, and he did it in the national championship game when they had Tim Tebow. He coached, and Oklahoma had Sam Bradford, and he coached circles around Bob Stoops. But I just think because they're in Oklahoma, Oklahoma's a little more desperate. They have seniors. Ohio State has freshmen. I'm a really roll the dice to pick Oklahoma. Okay, now, those are the games. We have a caller calling in my show. Hello, this is Coast to Coast Radio.
Hello?
Yes, this is
Coast to Coast Radio.
Ron Fitch, how you doing?
Ron Fitch, this is Mark. How are you down in Texas?
A New York Jets fan all the way down in Texas. That was a terrific win by the Jets. That was a gut check going on the road after throwing that game away against Cincinnati and winning against a Buffalo Bills team that I felt that particular day was poorly coached.
Yeah, I agree with you there. The only problem is I don't think it was a terrific win. I think the Jets' defense could have played a lot better. They gave up, what, 30-something points. That's not a
they
good
did.
Win.
To
That's
Tyron
just our,
Taylor,
our offense up toward the defense.
Well, last week the defense was fantastic with eight
yeah.
sacks. So this week the offense was better. I think the defense is going to play better. I'm a little worried about Revis. I think Revis has to have a what I call come-to-Jesus moment where he figures out, okay, I'm not as good as I used to be. So you put a safety over the top if he's playing a quicker receiver now. Before he didn't have to do that. Now you make adjustments because he's still good, but, you know, he's older. So now you've got to change up a little.
Last year we were playing with veteran players, though, in the back. You know, we had, Revis, you had Cromartie, who was horrible. But
mm-hmm.
even Revis, look at the stats last year. Revis got torched by Green last year.
Well, he got torched
and
by
Hopkins. And this is coming from somebody that loves
too.
Revis.
Well, now, yeah, that, but he's not getting torched. He's getting torched by some good receivers. Now,
yeah, exactly. It's not like he's
like
getting torched by, like, you know. Yeah, he's not getting torched by like, just somebody
no,
that's garbage
no,
coming
no.
out of college.
Yeah, and Kansas City has ordinary receivers. So I expect the Jet defense to play a lot better, even though Alex Smith is sneaky good. He doesn't wow you with his talent. He's just sneaky good. He's really smart, and Andy Reid's a really good coach because if you remember last year, Kansas City was 1-5, and they somehow became the second team all time to get to the playoffs after going 1-5, and they destroyed the Texans, and they play them.
I have a ton of respect for Andy Reid. We're living on our front line and our linebacking core right now. That's it. That's what we're living on. Our offense, I'm happy with. Forte is a beast.
Oh, Forte is. And I didn't think Forte still had it in him to be able to run between the tackles like this. He's showing me something. That was a good pickup by the Jets. You know Marshall and Decker are good, but this is a new one.
Yeah,
this
Newmont, and then we got the other kid.
This half receiver, half tight end is the new breakout player of the entire NFL right now, Marquise.
No, you're right. We have four legitimate receivers, man, which makes me happy. And that's what's making Fitzpatrick look so good. Let's be real. Fitzpatrick is horrible. But when
he's
you got four
horrible.
People
he's,
plus a running back to throw the ball out of, you have to play man.
He's slightly above average. He's not bad. He's not horrible.
No,
he's
not
great.
Slightly above average. Tyrod Taylor is slightly above average.
Tyrod Taylor is him and Fitzpatrick are about the same to me. I don't. Tyrod Taylor's all right. Let's not get crazy with Tyrod Taylor. He's
no,
good.
We're looking at Fitzpatrick who's
Fitzpatrick
in the league.
Is solid
in the league.
Yeah, but you
Come
can
on.
Get to a Super Bowl with a quarterback like this when the rest of the team is great. You just got to get that secondary straight now because that's the key to your Super Bowl run. Because you're almost there as a contender if you look at the entire team. And I like what Todd Bowles has done. I didn't like what he did last week, but I like him as a coach.
We can get there if Tyrod Taylor – I mean, if Fitzpatrick doesn't become Fitzpatrick. If he keeps playing like Tom Brady, we're okay.
He'll blow up a little at times.
See, the problem is when you put the game in Fitzpatrick's hands, you see what he did last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's interception prone. He'll throw it away. He doesn't make good decisions under pressure.
You know what? You know another problem Fitzpatrick has – Buffalo Bills stupidly went man all day long with no safety help.
Yeah.
So it wasn't easier. It was easier to read that coverage when you see it man-to-man, tight man-to-man with no safety over the top. You could go deep all night long, and he was accurate. But that's also a product of the idiocy of the Bills game plan, which
yeah, but think about
teams,
it. Every team
or they're
has to play man
in
the Jets
in Buffalo.
But every team has to play man on the Jets right now. Consider it. You got two great outside receivers, on Marshall and Decker.
I got
you. Got Onwumia coming off the line on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
You got Forte coming out the backfield who can catch or run.
Mm-hmm.
Who you got to double? Even
yes,
your safety,
that's
he can't
problem.
Have to play back.
But have every once in a blue moon have a safety come over the top. When you're getting beat consistently by the same play over and over and over and over and over all game long, and a punter on the other team hasn't punted except for one time when Brandon Marshall dropped the ball, or you wouldn't even have needed the punter to come on the trip.
Yeah.
You got to make an adjustment or two. It was the same way they lost. Make an adjustment. Now Forte runs. Okay, you made an adjustment. Jets were still better. But the Jets did the same thing the entire game, and it worked. I'm looking at the coaching staff. I'm looking at Brian. I'm looking at his brother. I'm looking at him sideways like, hey, come on, bro. Well, the Bills fans were booing. And the Bills fans are getting set up. That's another problem. Their fan base is turning on them. When the fan base turns on them, they're going to look at their ownership. Now they're going to look at the ticket sales. They're going to be like, you know, we might have to run him out of here. Because they're looking at the bottom line.
How do you turn the coach that's been there a year, though? You know, you know me. You know I'm a big Rex fan.
This is the problem, though, Marquis. The Bills with under Vatrone, who left, who just quit, were ranked high, were the top-ranked defense. So when Ryan came there, everybody expected better, but they were bad last year, and they're regressing. And that's the problem. But then after the season, Rex Ryan even said, I did a bad job. So now they're getting worse. So he has to change that in a hurry. And he's a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, he does. But they're older teams, too.
That's scratching my head.
They're older, and their offensive – I mean, besides Taylor. Mm-hmm. I mean, Sammy Watkins, they keep forcing him into a role that he can't play anymore. Let's just be real. He's not a number one.
You know, the
he's not a deep
okay.
number
they
one threat.
Organize at fourth down, but they find their offensive coordinator. I don't know. I'm scratching my head over that. But that game was about the defense.
LeSean McCoy is not a Rexy running back. He's a in and out. He's almost like a LaDainian Tomlinson, but you need that Chris Ivory behind you.
I understand, but he's on your team now. So you got to figure that out. But it was the defense which shocked me how bad. But now it's a long season, but they can't do that. Or they're gonna look at Rex Ryan sideways and his brother. They're going to send them both people. So he got to change that in a hurry.
Everybody's saying Rexy's a horrible coach. I think he's going to make some adjustments here. I think he could have made some adjustments in the Jets.
I won't say he's a horrible coach. I think after those two AFC championships and that loss to the Giants, it seemed like he lost.
Oh, that hurt.
Right?
Yeah,
they
played
the Giants Christmas Eve, and the Jets were rolling, and they got beat, and they didn't make the playoffs. And it seemed like he never could find his way after that. That game I point to was the changer because they were beating the Giants. Victor Cruz, stupidly, they don't put Revis on Cruz. They put Cromartie on him. He burns him for a 90-yard touchdown. He was never the same. And it just went downhill from there. He goes to Buffalo with that kind of baggage. I don't know how confident he is. After last year, he thought he did a bad job. So I'm like, where's your confidence?
I think you're right. I mean, but you look at his earlier coaching skills. He took Mark Sanchez to the playoffs twice.
Took him to the championship.
Mark Sanchez hasn't had an ounce of success since he left Rexy.
But then that game, Mark Sanchez was never the same. That game changed everything. Jets have recovered top bowls, but that game got messed Rex Ryan up, and now he's got to get it back somehow. Because the thing is, if he gets fired, because he's a talker, he might be radioactive, and he should get another job if he gets fired, but he might not. Because he talks so much, and general managers are more conservative. They might be like, you know what? I don't think I want to hire him or his brother running his mouth. I'll go get a younger guy with a different acumen. So that's the thing. Rex got to get it together now, this year.
He does. You're definitely right. Yeah, like I said, I'm a Jets fan, but I love Rex Ryan.
I understand.
I think maybe they're relying on his dad's defense a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. He'll be all right. I think they're going to get it together.
If you only go 1-5 like the Chiefs did, still make the playoffs, I don't panic yet. But that from what I'm hearing, that fan base is starting to get pissed because it's a quiet – Buffalo's a quiet city. And he came in there talking, and they're like, okay, but you got to produce, or they're gonna turn on you so fast.
Yeah, that's the sad part. NFL, you know, stands for not for long for a reason.
Not for
Revis
long.
Is about
not
to find that out if he doesn't produce this year.
No, I know. You know the Jets. And think about it. You know the Jets are somewhere in Alabama or Ole Miss or Louisville, Florida State today. They're somewhere scouting the next great cornerback. And you know, if they find one, they'll just cut Revis and just take their loss next year.
We are snake bitten at quarterback and at corners. Who's the last quarterback we had that was good? I mean, really good.
Let me tell you something, Marquise, about the Jets. They've almost been there. You remember I watched the documentary on Curtis Martin. It was one of the best documentaries I've ever seen yesterday. and you guys were almost on the verge. Tessa Brady gets hurt in 98. You're almost on the verge a couple of times, and different things happen. So you got to have a game where the curse gets broken, like when the Red Sox came back with the Yankees, and they came back in a game four, and then they made a run and overcoming the whole 3 deficit. The Jets have to overcome something. There has to be some game that takes them to that Super Bowl that we have to see, because they've been a playoff team for like 20 years. It's not like they've been terrible.
The Jets,
they've been
need to overcome ownership.
And this is, you know, huh?
The Jets need to overcome ownership. They need an owner that's going to go spend some money and get that that quarterback that's not 50 years old named Brett Favre.
Yeah, but why couldn't you do this? Place a call to New Orleans for see what it would take to get Drew Brees. Place a call to San Diego,
I would have done that in a heartbeat,
which has no talent around Phillip Rivers, and go get Phillip Rivers, and it's still not super old, and because you guys are a really good quarterback away from just winning it all.
I would have done that in a heartbeat. I would have took Drew Brees. I would have took Peyton Manning at this point. Not really, but you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but I would have thought out of the box and call San Diego.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how many draft picks do you want? We want Phillip Rivers. You're not going to be any good. He's wasting his last 4 or 5 years of his prime away. Get him this. I know Phillip Rivers is the type of guy, he doesn't like big cities, whatever. Sell him on New Jersey. Sell him on Parsippany. Sell him this farmland out there where the Jets practice. Sell him on that. Sell him on Morris County. Bring him here. And then win your Super Bowl.
Hey,
I
wasn't turned off by Osweiler. $17 million a year, I would have paid that for that guy.
I would have took a chance on that. I think Fitzpatrick's good, but you got to cross your fingers once you get into the postseason. Now you're just relying on hope. You're not knowing.
Well,
the
problem with the Jets is the Jets always go get older running backs and older wide receivers, so it's always a right now type of game. They always got to win right now because their receiving core and their running backs are always old. They never bring people up through the ranks. Not like the old Jets used to do in the 80s when – in 83 when they drafted – what was it, Ken O'Brien? Was that 83, I think? And, Walker and I mean, all of those – Bobby Lamb Jones and all those good guys back then. But some, they got away from that. Now it's let's win now.
I know. Listen, I got to let you go. That was a terrific call, but – after the Jets-Chiefs game, you got calling again, man.
I definitely will, man. I call and make some – hopefully I call some good news.
Yeah. You know, it's good to take. I like taking calls from fans because they have to let their feelings out. I'm kind of like a therapist at times. And we're looking to expand the show to an hour and an extra day so fans can call in across the country. And I'm there for you to relieve your feelings. If you're happy about your team, if you're upset, let it out. Vent. That's what I'm here for. That's the beauty of doing sports radio. Okay, I'm going to roll the dice again in the NFL. I think the Washington Redskins, they got trounced because of their own doing against the Steelers. I think the Redskins are going to beat the Cowboys. Before I do that, wait, I want to talk about the Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh wins if that's really taking a chance because they didn't have any sacks last week. I saw flaws. I'm a Steelers fan, so I saw flaws in the Redskins game. I know they won 28-16. Okay, big deal. But there were flaws. They didn't get not one sack. If they don't sack Andy Dalton, Cincinnati wins the game. If they don't, they did an okay job on the run. If Jeremy Hill runs the ball 5 yards a clip, they're going to lose. I look at the defense. The offense will be fine. Cincinnati defense is good. You know, they're going to get a good pass rush. So you're not going to just explode on them. But Ben will make enough plays. My issue is the back end dealing with A.J. Green and putting pressure on Dalton. They have to get home. You can't almost get there. If you almost get there, you're going to get beat. And disregard me picking Pittsburgh if they don't get home on any sacks. If they sack Andy Dalton, they'll win the game at home. So I'm rolling the dice. Now I'm a really roll the dice. I'm picking the Redskins over the Dallas Cowboys. That is really rolling it down. At home, Dallas is a better team than Washington. Let me preface that. But I think because they're on the road and Dak Prescott's a rookie, I think he's going to run into trouble. I think the Redskins defense is better than what it showed Monday. They had some moments. They could have had a turnover. They had bad fortune. I think you put all your best corner on their best receiver. You don't play around like that. And they didn't do that. But I think Cousins plays better. I think they run it a little better. DeSean Jackson, who always has big games against the Cowboys, he may get a bomb or two. And the Skins get by the Cowboys. I have absolutely no confidence in that pick because the Skins look poorly coached. I thought Jay Gruden would be a little better because they look – and Cousins is all over the place. But for this particular game, I'm just going by a hunch. And I think the Redskins are going to win. If the Cowboys win, hey, you want to call and say, what were you thinking? Okay, I'm just going to roll the dice. Sometimes you do that. And I also think the Minnesota Vikings are going to upset the Green Bay Packers at home. The Minnesota Vikings have the most underrated defense in the NFL, and I think they're going to get out to Aaron Rodgers. I think that aura of invincibility in that division of Green Bay is over. Detroit and Minnesota know now they can beat them. They're a little vulnerable. I think Minnesota's going to win that game. They're going to make enough plays. AT may make enough plays. And they're going to win at home. They're unleashing a new home, the new stadium, and a Sunday night. I feel that one. So we're going to find out Monday morning what I was right about and what I was wrong about.